Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media that's dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and during this broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our two chats, one on the emotionalpro.com page or the Blog Talk Radio page, and you can also speak directly with our guest over our toll-free number, which is 800-630-7858, 800-630-7858. Are you slogging through your life going from obligation to obligation and chore to chore? Are you being treated well by the people who surround you in your daily life, including you? Do you find yourself whistling a happy tune or facing life with a grim, determined look? According to today's guest, there's supposed to be a sweetness to life, and it's possible for you to have that in your life regardless of where you are today. In fact, she's compiled a book to inspire you in your journey that contains stories from more than 40 women who have moved their lives from grim to juicy. Our guest is Linda Joy. Linda Joy, you can find her at Aspire Mag, aspiremag.net. She launched Aspire Magazine in 2005 to inspire women to live deeper, more authentic, and inspired lives. She credits Aspire's rapid growth to her collaborative business model that she calls the Feminine Conscious Business Model for Abundant Success. And it's based on the five core principles she operates from: relationships, collaboration, intention, service, and abundance. She's the founder of both Aspire and of Inspired Publications. I'm not quite sure I have that title right. Her new anthology, titled A Juicy, Joyful Life, Inspiration from Women Who Found the Sweetness in Every Day, was released in September of 2010. So, Linda Joy, welcome to Full Power Living.
Hi, glad to be here.
What is the proper name for Inspired Publications? How do you?
It's actually Inspired Living Publishing is the publisher. It's a book publisher for Juicy, Joyful Life and some other books I have coming up.
Okay, Inspired Living Publishing. Okay, let me just make sure I have that right. Okay. So, you know, I maybe 3 years ago I did my first show with the term juicy, but I'm not still quite sure what it means. So can we start there?
I'm asked that a lot. When they asked me why I chose that name, in my own life experience, I realized that when we're living fully, think about it, we're living squeezing the zest out of life. So I'm a visual person. And for me, when I saw, as you saw the cover of the mag, it looks like the center of a sliced orange, but it's heart-shaped. And when I saw that, I just said, that's it, especially the heart shape. That's what life is about. It's about squeezing the zest out of life, living life to our fullest potential, and living a life of joy. So to me, juicy is being authentic, being true to ourselves, and living a life that is centered around joy.
Wow, that's really wonderful. It took me a lot of years. I kept reading for years that life was supposed to be joyful, and I kept going, are you kidding me? How do you find joy? You know? But I, you know, a lot of what is said in A Juicy, Joyful Life is accurate in that I have a lot more joy in my life now, and it hasn't come from me actually, quote, finding joy. It's come from me connecting more fully with myself.
Exactly, and that's what I want to, I get asked, because my last name is Joy, so I have a tough road to live up to, you know.
I thought you did it on purpose.
And the beautiful part is, I like to say, joy isn't a place you get to because you've accomplished this or achieved this. It's a place that you always had and that we forget. So think about it as, I like to say, it's a seed that you were born with. We were born in with joy in our heart, and then life happens, experiences happen. And so for me, and if you, when you read the book, Eileen, you saw that I shared part of my journey. So believe me, I spent many years, like you and like many of your listeners, not living in joy.
Mm-hmm.
I was heavy-hearted. I let outside circumstances kind of put me on the little roller coaster that we all go on. And all my joy, pleasure, self-esteem came from outside sources. So for me, living a life of joy is living from the inside out. I'm now at such a place in my life, not because of outside things that I have discovered, but because, like you, I discovered that I had the joy all along. And the more I connected with my inner wisdom and myself and got to know my true authentic self, that I was able to say, I choose joy.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell people, does that mean negative experiences or heartache or heartbreak won't happen? Of course not. We're human. But what it does mean is you can still choose joy.
Well, one of the things that I've come across is that the more actual joy I experience, the less the heartache has power over me. It doesn't feel, you know, like I often talk about, I'm a psychotherapist, and I often talk with people about turning problems into puzzles. It's a movement like that. You know, it's like, well, that's not really a problem. That's just a puzzle. Let's figure it out and go forward.
Exactly. And as you just mentioned, that being in joy and living that life isn't about not having those other experiences, but it's about looking at those experiences through a different lens.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have a problem, I love how you just rephrased it, that let's look at it as a puzzle. And basically, you're asking your client to look at it through a different lens. Let's not look at it as a problem. Let's look at it as a puzzle. And when you're working on a puzzle, there's a lot of pieces that go into it to make it all come together. So I love that analogy of using the puzzle.
I do, too. It helped me a whole lot.
No, I think that's great.
Yeah. Well, you have a foreword by Reverend Charlene Proctor, and I have to tell you, I love it. And I think she's a marvelous writer, which obviously you do too. And I would like to look at some of the notions that she puts forward in the preface as a way of introducing the book and the stories. So she says, for example, clearly our individual and collective narratives are how spirit experiences life through us. Contemplating our stories is where the learning resides, where the spiritual journey begins. Instead of regurgitating our fears and victimhood, what we ought to be doing is taking a closer look at the emerging wisdom arising from our everyday experiences. Now, a lot of the women whose stories appear in A Juicy, Joyful Life share the story of how they moved from fears and victimhood to wisdom and juicy. And I'd like to know, what were some of the more powerful stories like that?
Oh, you mean the individual stories?
Yes, or
well, that's okay.
However you want to approach it.
Yeah, because what I got to say, for one, when you brought up Charlene, I do everything intuitively, and I've been following Charlene's work for quite a while, and it's always touched me. And when I decided to reach out to someone to do the foreword, following my gut, I reached out to her, not knowing if she would say yes, no, et cetera, because we didn't have a personal relationship. And I share this because it's with women on this journey, and men go through it, but I speak to women mostly, so you'll hear me use the word woman a lot of times, but life experiences are for both. When I reached out to Charlene, she said, send me the manuscript. I did. And she said, let's hold a conversation, Linda. And she knew me in the world as publisher of Aspire, but we didn't have a personal relationship. We spent just 1 hour on the phone, and this is why I want to tell you the power behind what she wrote still brings me to tears.
Mm-hmm.
We spent an hour on the phone, and all she really wanted to know was, tell me what your vision is for this book. Tell me the vision of how you chose these stories, of the connections with these women. And that's the type of things we spoke on. And I'll tell you, I was a little nervous of getting a foreword for my first book when you don't know what they're going to write.
Right.
So she sent it to me and said, sending with love and gratitude, let me know what you think. I'm going to tell you something. I was not even up to the fourth paragraph and had tears running down my face.
Really?
I'm going to tell you why. It felt, you see, she's such a prolific writer, but it felt like she crawled inside my soul. This is the only way I can say it. And put beautiful words to my intention, to my, we never, my editor, no one had to touch one word of what she wrote. It touched me to the very core that, oh my God, she understands that the power of story and victimhood and is a story that we carry, but she grasped it. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because the story, the backstory behind getting that forward was, it was divinely led that she grasps what women are going through right now and my intent behind the book. So when we go back to the stories that are in the book, I interviewed each woman. So to me, every story is so powerful for the one message that it brings. Did you notice that with the 41 women, their journeys are extremely different, their backgrounds are different, but the one message that came through was that when they walk through their dark days, whatever it may be, whether it was debilitating anxiety like Laurie Mackinac, or sexual abuse or physical abuse, each one of the women, through their experience, discovered on their own and in their own way that they hit that point where we don't, I realized they didn't have to carry the story. And it was like a, their own personal aha breakthrough moment that transitioned their life. So when I'm asked to choose a powerful story, to, it's hard for me because each one is as powerful as the next in their own regard.
Right.
And touches a theme, as I'm sure you notice, in every woman's life. So I like to say that I believe that each story is meant to touch a certain woman on their journey. And from the feedback that we have, but there are so many, and one that gets a lot I do notice is, I think it's actually one of the first ones, it's the Rebel Bell, Tuck Self. And the reason I've heard a lot of feedback back on that one is how many of us, especially women, and it doesn't matter what generation, but especially the generation, I think, between 50 and up, really had a struggle with this. Is we become, from a young child, everything, we begin putting the masks on at a young age. I have to be the perfect child, I have to be the perfect student, I have to be the, you know, good teenager and the wife and et cetera, that what happens is one day, as in my own case, we wake up and say, how did I get here? Whose life is this? And Tuck's great way of sharing her story of wearing those false selves to feel that she was accepted and fit in, and finally removing those layers. That's a story that's really resonated with so many women that have reached out to us. Was there any that stuck out in your mind that...
I really think you've said it very well. You know... I've done a number of those things, but one of the things that has happened for me, for many years, I felt terrible. Like, I'm not like other women, because in the 40s and 50s, when I was growing up, I lived in a divorced family. You know, my father had remarried, but we weren't allowed to tell anybody that our stepmother was not our birth mother. And but the early years of my life, I was essentially neglected, which meant that I didn't have anybody telling me or instructing me about anything, and I was able to connect to myself. And I had a very powerful sister about 2 years older than me who pushed me constantly. And so I, while I grew up in a Southern family and a military family, and I got certainly plenty of that, I had this kind of wild streak in me that couldn't be tamed, because that's who I was at the very beginning of my life. And I tell you, in reading Juicy Joyful Life, I came to appreciate that. It's like, hey, good thing I was neglected early in my life. I escaped a lot of this.
Isn't it? I got to tell you, you just named it, that a lot of these women can look back now as you can through your background and look back and say, look at the blessings, because even though the experience at the time you're going through it is extremely painful, can bring you to your knees, and at times can totally throw your life upside down, look at us now. And that's what I love to speak to women about, that your story does not have to define you. Because think of it, maybe you wouldn't be doing what you are doing with your gifts in the world right now if you hadn't have experienced everything that you have in your childhood and growing up. So when you look at your life now, in my case, I look at my life now and can look back on the traumas that I've experienced from childhood on, and I have no regret, no more sorrow, no more anything, because I've come to a place of acceptance and completion that I feel like I get it. Those were my lessons to be learned, so I can take the lessons only, heal the pain, take the lessons, and go out into the world and do what only I can do, because I believe we all have unique gifts that we're meant to share, but we have to go through that journey of healing the wounds. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Claiming the lessons and letting the rest of what doesn't work go.
Yes.
And I think that it doesn't happen at one time. I think you don't just wake up one day and go, okay, I've learned my lessons, the past is done. It's a journey. I mean, I've been doing a lot of healing work for 20 years on myself. Am I done? No, I don't think I ever will be. I don't think any of us will be. Will we come to a place where we can feel joy again? And that's the work I put out in the world, whether through Inspired Living Publishing, which publishes the stories of women, either in this book, and we have another one called Embracing Your Authentic Life that we just released the call for authors, or through my magazine, Aspire Mag, everything I do is about one thing, inspiring women to live deeper, more authentic and inspired lives, and to put out stories and wisdom of others so that they can see it doesn't matter where you've been. You can create the future or dreams or feelings that you deserve if you stop looking backwards and start living forward. So in everything I do, it comes down to that one core message, hope. There is hope and transformation.
You know, there's an interesting thing that came up in my life a couple of years ago. I have abuse, abandonment, moving. You know, I went to 17 different schools before I got out of high school. Oh. You know, it was a very challenging early life. And I worked very hard for a number of years, and I felt that those things no longer had an emotional charge for me, but I kept talking about them. And people in my life, like my son and my husband, they you know, could you stop talking about it? But it's part of me, I said. And then I had a very profound experience, a confrontation with somebody that I love, that brought home to me that if I really am finished with the story, then I can write a totally new story. I don't even have to talk about what I went through.
It's exactly. But do you understand? I believe that 100% also, but I also believe that in sharing stories in a way that's done from love and healing,
yes,
has the power to give hope and healing to others who are not yet at the point that you now are at. Does that make sense?
I totally agree with you on that, yes.
I just have this feeling that, I'll give you a little background for me.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote about it in the book, as you know. The day that I had the epiphany, the awakening, that I, like you had that awakening, no longer had to carry the pain of the story. Does that make sense? And the drama and the heaviness of the story. And it was the day I realized I can rewrite my future and my new story and move forward. And to do that, being a low-income mom, especially at the time, I didn't have a lot of funds to go to like live workshops or you know, that type of thing. So books became my only access to the wisdom of others that had been on the journey. I didn't realize how much 19 years ago that the words of others, you know, great authors, Marianne Williamson, all of them way back then, were such an important part of my healing and growth. But I look back now and say, wow, it was reading other people's journeys and stories that gave me hope that I too could overcome,
mm-hmm.
that I too had the power inside me to turn my life around. And that's why now, well, I like to giggle and say the universe has a hell of a sense of humor, because 20 years ago it was the words and inspiration of the written word and inspiration of others to help me transform my life. And without ever thinking I was going into the publishing industry, I'm now the one 20 years later who is sharing the words and wisdom of others with the intent to transform other women's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I giggle at that because people say, you know, now you have two publishing companies all on women's inspiration. What made you get into publishing? And I laugh and say, I never meant to go into publishing. I wanted to inspire women. I had another business, a retail store, for 10 years. And one of the last 7 years of that business, I had a newsletter called Aspire, because I've always been drawn to that name. And it wasn't really, hi, come shop here. It was personal stories, insights, things to help women reconnect with themselves. Because I dealt with, I used to work in the welfare community and battered women shelters. So I saw that need of self-esteem. So flash forward, after I closed the business, I wanted a way to continue these talks. I didn't mean to go into publishing. It just turned into a magazine that created a huge following. And next thing you know, we're at the five-year mark and have a global following. And I'm like, I never meant to go into publishing. I just followed the passion that I have. Even if one woman never gives up on her life and can let go of the pain of the past and her mistakes and her experiences and create a new story for herself, that makes all my work and my personal experiences worth it, as I'm sure you found in your own work.
Yes, yes. You bring to mind the words of a very wise man, which I'll paraphrase. You weren't looking for publishing, but publishing was looking for you.
I like that way. And honestly, that I've never heard that. That is what it feels like.
Right, right, right.
Like I was led and called. And next thing I wake up one day and I'm like, how did I do this? But not once in 5 years have I not felt driven by my love and joy for what I do. Like, it doesn't feel like work to me. And I wish that for everyone.
Yes. We're up to our break here. We're talking to Aspire Magazine founder and publisher, also the founder of Inspired Living Publishing, Linda Joy. We're talking about a juicy, joyful life, inspiration from women who found the sweetness in every day. You're listening to Full Power Living. Stay tuned for more about the juiciness of your emotional life.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want, to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. We are in the process of starting our 7th year of broadcasting Full Power Living, and during that time, we've been bringing you the most cutting-edge thinkers and information in all areas of life that are impacted by emotions, and of course, that's every area of life. You can download archived podcasts from our radio show page on emotionalpro.com. We've got more than 300 shows for you. You can subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes, and please listen also each week on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. Please continue to tell your friends and family about all they can discover through Full Power Living and accept our thanks for helping us with our mission of awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions. I also have two other internet radio programs that I create and host with life coach Dakey Fox on the Women's Information Network, thewinonline.com. They are Building Conscious Families and Emotionally Speaking. And let me tell you just a minute about our upcoming shows. Next week we have Elise Ballard talking about true stories of both famous and non-famous people who experienced epiphanies, life-changing, sudden insight. You'll want to hear about those. And on the 27th of January, we have Marcy Shimoff discussing her new book, Love for No Reason. And in February, we start out with Paul Helfrich, who has an amazing compilation of the Seth materials. And so many people were helped by the Seth materials back in the 70s and 80s. So be sure to join us for these fabulous explorations. Let me remind you, too, that our toll-free number is 800-630-7858. You know, Linda, before the break, you were talking about people not feeling alone and burdened, and it brought to mind that last week my son, who's in the internet business, sent me a letter. It was a suicide letter by a brilliant graduate student from Princeton who had been sexually abused as a child and had never talked about it. And I read the story. He said in the letter, please feel free to send this letter around. I want it to have wide distribution after I've died. And so I got the whole thing and I read it. And the one thing that really stood out to me is that he never felt safe or okay or felt he had a place to share what had happened with him and find out that he was not the only one who'd gone through that. And there were ways he lost his hope.
He did, and I know in my own case, I went through that dark period that he speaks of, that you, before I found counseling to be able to heal with my sexual abuse issues and et cetera, I remember that dark, lonely place of feeling that no one will understand, there's no one I can turn to, and that was probably, I think, about 21 years ago. And so I can truly relate to what he experienced because I've been there. The saddest part is he didn't find the help and resources and rediscover the hope that's out there, as I was able to do in many others. And that is what breaks my heart, because it is all around the hope, the resources to heal whatever our traumas may be. And that breaks our heart. But look at the gift he's now given to the world.
Yes.
Do you see? Like, so I look at his life had so much meaning and purpose because even though he's gone, he is spreading the story of hope and transformation so that others don't make the same decision he did.
Yes. I found myself thinking about, is there any way, one of the comments my son made when he sent it to me is, I know so many people who are like this. And I began immediately thinking, is there some way we can reach all these hardworking IT people who bury themselves night and day getting their work done so that they would have a place where they could get hope and inspiration? Very much like what you've done with a juicy, joyful life. And
there's so many amazing places. If they're searching, as you know, we can put it out there. You know, like your work is out in the world and so many others are out in the world to help hope and heal. But I know from my own journey, it wasn't until I began looking that those things would come into my lens.
Uh-huh.
They have to reach that point of knowing I need the help, I want the help, and then it will come. So even pointing it out is wonderful, but to reach them, they have to be at that point of knowing they're looking for it. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it brings the kind of ironical thing that I have been known to tell people who come in worried about a relative who has, who's kind of lost their way, and they say, what can I do? And I said, well, this may sound heartless to you, but increase their pain. That's what you need, because when your pain finally gets increased and you think you have no place else to go, then is the time that you make the change.
Exactly. For me, I was brought to my knees, and it's a place I never want to be again, but at the same time, I am so glad I was there. Does it make sense? I mean, it kind of sounds contradictory, but I see the lessons and the wisdom I gained from it and the emotional strength that I gained from it, but I'm telling the universe right now, I don't want it again.
Yes, thank you very much. I've been there.
done that.
And another, this brings to something else that Reverend Proctor brings up. She says, our passages from emotional poverty to empowerment have shown us that it's just as easy to see life as a collection of old wounds that contaminate our relationships as it is to see life as a set of ideas that contribute to our emotional and spiritual growth. This is what we're talking about, right? The work that you've done in A Juicy, Joyful Life shows that people had the wounds and had the contamination, including yourself, and that they refocused. They went a different direction, and now they're having totally different lives. And I'm so impressed with how many of them actually are coaches.
Well, you know what they say is, and I found that funny because being the first book by our publishing company, I really didn't have an idea of the type of woman demographic that would respond. And when I saw that it was a lot of coaches, I said, isn't it amazing the healers have healed and are now coming forward to heal the world? Uh-huh. And I'll tell you, when the 41 that we selected for the book, they were brave souls because they have this, as you know, portrayed image or label out in the world as coach, radio show host, whatever it may be. My label would be publisher.
Mm-hmm.
But they allowed the rawest of who they are and the heaviness and their wounds, and they shared it in a really, truly intimate way with one intent, because every interview I did, I said, this book is, there's no ego. It's all about coming from a place of sharing your story in a truthful, authentic way with the intent to empower, inspire, and uplift other women that they, too, can find hope and transformation. So I give credit that these women, they came at these stories and shared their truth in such an open way that I know each one was meant to be in this book. Like, it was, this book wouldn't have been complete without every single story that you read there. It was almost, they were all meant to come together in this way, which is beautiful. But I do, like Charlene said, is, they, each of them, also released all the wounds and showed that it's possible that you can rewrite the script of your life.
Absolutely.
And move forward from that. Because if reading those stories, you can actually feel and know that each one of them have already walked through the victimhood, walked through the trauma, and those labels no longer are applied to their life anymore. They're at a juicy, joyful point in their life, and that is the message of hope that I think that really resonated with women, because within 6 hours of the book launching on September 29th, we hit number one bestseller on Amazon in two hot new release categories, spirituality and self-esteem.
Wow.
And, yeah, for a first-time publisher, that was huge.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, we have an amazing, I like to say family, that follows Aspire and has for 5 years. And they know that this book was birthed with a pure intent. And believe me, we were blown away by the response also. So, and we hit a couple other, like number two and number four in different categories on Amazon. And then also on Barnes & Noble. But to reach the pinnacle, we actually, I have to say, because it's almost like a childhood giggle, on that day, on September 29th, we actually bypassed the new Chicken Soup for the Soul book to hit number one in that category. Uh-huh. And Dr. Phil, too. So we were giggling like...
Wow.
Yeah, so we were giggling because... you hear me talk about a lot about universe and energy and intention. I believe, just like I speak, you mentioned at the beginning with the feminine conscious business model that that I've used to create Aspire, but also that I'll be mentoring and teaching in 2011 is intention. Mm-hmm. Everything I do comes down to two questions I ask myself in my business and in my personal life. One is, does this choice, decision, or agreement that I'm about to enter bring me closer to my mission or further away? And to be clear, my mission, the one I compare it to, is that everything I do in the world is meant to inspire women to live deeper, more authentic lives.
Mm-hmm.
So when I ask myself that question, there's only two answers, yes or no.
Right.
If it's yes, I go on to question two. Question two that I ask myself is, and this is all part of the conscious business paradigm that I teach and I've done teleseminars on, is since the answer was yes, is this decision, agreement, or choice I'm about to make, is it in the highest and best for all involved? And, of course, there can only be one answer, yes.
Uh-huh.
So when you break down decisions based on those models, with those questions, whether it's in business or in life, because think about it, replace the word relationship. If you're talking about your relationship with your spouse, is this decision in the highest and best for my relationship? It takes out all the other crap.
Uh-huh.
So that's the kinds of things that I've been about and Aspire's been about. So I think that the support we receive for our book launch, we had 162 partners join our book launch. Shirley MacLaine,
wow,
the actress. It was one of, because we hired Hasmark Services, who is to handle mm-hmm. all the back end for us, and they're phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But they were even blown away by the support we got, never mind to reach bestseller. And it comes back to that word, intention.
Mm-hmm.
I think women in the world that purchased the book, they felt the truth and intention behind the book and the stories. And then that is what brought it to number one, nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Now, people can get hold of your book through all major booksellers as well as through AspireMag.net?
Well, they can actually get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, if they do it through our website, Juicy Joyful Life, they're going to notice two things. They can buy it from our website on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but we have over 160 partners, like I mentioned, who offered a free downloadable gift. So wherever they buy it, from Amazon or Barnes & Noble, has to be one of those two. If they go back to juicyjoyfullife.com and enter in their receipt number,
mm-hmm.
they get automatic access to an amazing array of MP3s, downloads, video, audio, e-books from some of the greatest visionaries working in spirituality, self-improvement. So we would love to invite them to do that if it feels good for them.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, I'm known as the emotional pro, and of course this show is focused on emotions, and I was interested in this story that Katie Verbug, is that how you say it?
Oh, Verberg, yeah.
Verberg.
Yeah.
Okay, she talks, first of all, her story is about self-deprecation, and then in her aha moment, she says, I learned something absolutely astounding. Emotions are addictions governed by the same chemical process as drug addictions. As we repeat thoughts or emotions, our brains create long-term relationships in a neural network, making these feelings easier and easier to call on and keeping us rooted in our past. When it comes down to it, our bodies are simply releasing signals to our brains to feed the monkeys on our back. I think you had a lot of stories in the book that would verify this understanding.
Oh, 100%. I mean, Katie's wisdom is amazing. She's experienced an amazing life. And I, God, I don't even think she's 40 years old. So for her to achieve that level of wisdom and insight reflects the inner work she's done. But exactly, I really do believe. Well, you know, we've discovered the power of affirmations, and it actually does create new neural pathways and a new way of thinking. So what she described in the book is exactly what I believe does happen. It is the same connection to what we've always done. You know, like when you're trying to change any new habit, you know the work you have to do. So I think she really nailed the description of what goes on in our mind. And I love the analogy she used, the monkey on our back, because negative emotions and negative, I don't want to, train of thought, I guess you can say, is just like an addiction. Look what it can do to your life.
One of the things that I teach, FYI, is that there is no such thing as a negative emotion. That what actually makes emotions negative is when we hold them inside. Like you.
I would agree with that.
So
rephrase it. I want to write that down because I, for myself, when I held in a lot of my own stuff, I almost said the other word, physical illness soon followed.
Right.
And medical diagnoses of, you know, mini stroke at 40, they told me I had MS, et cetera. Guess what? I am medication pain free, and every specialist says to me, I don't know what you've been doing, but just keep on doing it. And I said, well, remove those diagnoses from my records because I don't have any. It was a spiritual and emotional crisis because I was not allowing myself to feel what I needed 8 years ago.
Right. Well,
I witnessed it so many times in women with serious illness and emotional upset that what's your truth that you're not allowing out?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. I just am finishing up recording a 7-week video course called Turning Anger into Enthusiasm. And one of the things that I talk about is the 5 ways that anger processes through us. It tends to create mental damage so that we can't see accurately. And one of the forms of mental damage is that it puffs our ego up. The ego's job is to bring information in and out. But when you hold on to anger, it puffs the ego up so that the ego actually interprets, you know, you spilled that wine on my grandmother's tablecloth on purpose, sort of thing. The third thing it does is it blocks us from our success. The fourth thing is it destroys all 7 of the major building blocks of self-esteem. And the fifth thing is that it creates physical illness. So it's literally held on to anger. As I have read someplace, anger held on to poisons the vessel that it's in.
Can other strong negative emotions other than anger cause that? Because mine, in my case, wasn't anger per se. It was my own self-judgment on decisions I had made that was weighing so heavy on me that caused the illness. So maybe, you know, now that I say that out loud, I wonder if it was self-anger, because it was never directed at another person.
Exactly what I was going to say.
You know what's funny is speaking it out loud, I'm like, wait a minute, Linda. No, it was anger. You were angry at yourself for the decisions you made. Oh, my God, I just had an epiphany.
Oh, great. Yeah, because it's easier to be angry with yourself than it is sometimes, especially as a child, to be angry outside of yourself. And I often, you know, one of the things people say, I have so much trouble with judgment and I have to change that. And I say, I just told somebody yesterday, the easiest way is to stop judging yourself, because what you have inside of you, you attract from outside of you. I'm enjoying this conversation too much here. We're up to another break. we're talking with Linda Joy, who's the publisher of Aspire Magazine and the founder of Inspiring...
Inspired Living Publishing.
Living Publishing. There it is. I knew I had it written down. Inspired Living Publishing. And let's talk about when we come back, Linda, let's talk more about what our listeners can do today, right now, to start living a more juicy and joyful life.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Everybody feels anger. But if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the emotional pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. We're talking today with Linda Joy, who is the compiler and publisher of A Juicy, Joyful Life. And she is talking with us about some of the ideas from that book today. And I think it's a great way to start off your new year. Forget about resolutions. Just start paying attention to what you want to become, which is to have a juicy and joyful life. So one of the things you do in that book, Linda, is you include a journaling prompt page at the end of each chapter, and you ask questions that are relevant to that particular chapter that someone has written. And I wondered if you have a personal reason or an idea about why you thought that was particularly important to include.
Well, it was very important for me to include, and I'll share the reason why. When I spoke earlier of that journey of turning to other people's books and wisdom, we've all read amazing compilation books like this, with, of course, every one of us has read Chicken Soup for the Soul and many others like that. And for me, in my way of escapism, what would happen in the past on this journey of healing was I would read one of the compilation books, and I'd read this story that touched me, and it would evoke emotions. And all of a sudden, I know now, but at the time I was still in my escapism, that the moment an emotion, whatever it may be, anger, sorrow, joy, fear, that was brought up from reading the story, there's a message in it for you. But in the past, what I would do is go, ooh, you know, what's this funny feeling that this story's bringing up in me? Because it was resonating with something in me. Instead of sitting quietly and allowing myself to process whatever that message may be, of course, I would go, oh, what a cute little feeling. I think I'll just turn the page and read the next story. And I would go on and try to not deal with whatever it was bringing up. With A Juicy, Joyful Life and some of the other projects I have in the works, I want women to read these stories and say, how is it touching me? What are the lessons, insights, emotions that it's stirring up in me? Because believe me, if it's stirring something up in you, there's a beautiful message, lesson, or wisdom nugget in it for you. So by having each woman and my editor work together to give three juicy questions on that journaling prompt page that reflect deeper questions contained within the story. So, example, maybe there's a woman who has always had a dream. We'll use coach as an example since we discussed it earlier. And she knows in her soul she would be a very good one. But maybe she's allowing fear to hold her back. So maybe when she reads that story, one of the questions could be, what dream do you have in your heart that you're allowing your inner bully or your voice to stop you from doing? So see what I mean? They're questions to bring a woman deeper into her own authentic truth and story, and that was very important to me. I wanted a powerful book, but I wanted it to be a tool. And it's been called a trail guide to discovering your authentic self. Mm-hmm. So it's more than a book. It's really for those who are willing to do some work. It's really a place to begin, or wherever you are on your journey, to start tuning into that inner voice.
Mm-hmm.
The one that lifts you up, not the one that tears you down, which we all have.
I found that there were two common themes in a lot of the stories, and that was that so many women needed to discover that they had value, or that they have value, and that they can trust themselves.
In my work in the book, that is an exact theme, and also in the work, in the conversations I have with women for the last 5 years, and I'm sure you noticed this, self-esteem and self-worth, which is, I say, the value of who we are and what we believe we are worth to this world, is a major issue for women. And I think that's why you see that theme. It's because it's the truth for so many women who doubt themselves each day. And believe me, I've been there, and I'm human. I still have those days. But I'm out of that dark period of, who am I to believe that I could be a publisher? Who am I to believe that I can mentor a woman? We all have that voice, but these women step through the voice even with their greatest fears. And again, it comes all back to the intent to get women to step forward through the fear and say, I am worthy. Mm-hmm. I do deserve. And I'm glad you did notice that, because that is one theme that we've had a lot of feedback on, that these mm-hmm. stories resonate with women's, their own feelings.
Mm-hmm. Just as a comment here, you probably heard the ad for the mini course on 4 building blocks of self-esteem. And one of the building blocks of self-esteem is listening to your inner voices and learning to differentiate which voice to listen to. And so it's no wonder to me that people would have difficulties with self-esteem if they're not trusting themselves or able to listen to their inner voice, because they go hand in hand.
That sounds like a phenomenal course. So after this interview, I'm going to go to your site, because I'd love to share that with my list. I'm not sure when it's scheduled for, if it's a product or a e-course, but I'll go grab the info and put it in Twitter and Facebook, because so much of my following, that is their issue.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll gladly do that, because I think it's a powerful resource for them.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I like to say, we discussed right before the last break, is something that I would guide some of your listeners to. I
yes.
think that is a perfect opening to what you just say, is the inner wisdom. For me, to reconnect and heal myself, I had to stop looking outward mm-hmm. for validation, for worth, for any of the above, and start looking inward. So one of the things that, in regard to the voices that you just spoke about on your upcoming program, is I like to say you have two voices, and I'll say it in two worlds, because a lot of times I speak spiritual, but it can be broken down the opposite way also. So I like to say there's two voices. We all know, a friend of mine, Christine Arlo, calls her the inner mean girl. Okay, she has a whole program out in the world right now as part of her self-love campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it. You've got this little mean girl, and she's the one that says, who are you to think you can do that? Who are you to think you deserve this? And then that's the inner mean girl always takes you down, never makes you feel good about yourself. On the other side is your inner wisdom. And that, everything you hear or feel from inner wisdom uplifts and empowers you. So a lot of times someone will ask me, well, Linda, how do I know when it
right.
truly is my inner mean girl or my inner wisdom? And I like to say this, because I always resort back to the spiritual, is there's two feelings that it comes down to. And it is love or fear, because as you know, everything comes down to feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Love, and in the other respect, love is the inner wisdom. Fear is the inner mean girl, okay? So when I speak of love and fear, it's those same two roles. But for me to process everything in my own journey, I chose love and fear as my words.
Mm-hmm.
Love, when it's coming from inner wisdom, your source, whatever it may be, lifts you up, makes you feel good, and guides you forward. Fear, inner mean girl, always leaves you feeling less than, heavy feeling, negative energy. And that's how you differentiate the two. And for myself, that's what I did. And journaling is a major, powerful tool in accessing that inner wisdom without feeling like you can be so open in a journal. Do you know? So journaling mm-hmm. is a powerful tool to start listening, giving validation to that inner voice. And the more you give validation to the inner voice or love mm-hmm. over the fear and inner mean girl, the louder and bolder and braver she'll become because you're embracing her.
Mm-hmm.
But when you focus so much on the inner mean girl or the fear, you're embracing that, and you can only bring in more of that when you focus on what you're embracing. So my guidance would be, in a way that's good for your listeners, start journaling. Start talking to your inner wise woman, your divine source, whatever your label may be, and start embracing her, and she will get bolder and louder because she will feel you nurturing her.
Mm-hmm. And I love, years ago, I was a member of the Spiritualist Church, and they talked about love being a totally supportive energy, that it didn't, and I really got the concept that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, anything, if you are living in love, it's just totally supportive, and I think that's what we're all seeking. So just briefly, what are some of the most important things, or what's one important thing that you learned personally by doing this project, or the compiling and publishing the book, A Juicy, Joyful Life?
Biggest lesson, which now envelops the whole belief of my Inspired Living Publishing Company, is that all women, not just women with labels after their names, every woman has a wisdom, insights, and gifts to be shared with the world. And my goal is to give every woman an opportunity to be heard, to share that wisdom. So that is the biggest lesson, is every woman has their wisdom, and they need to embrace it. And I want to be a part of bringing it forward. But we have such a wisdom to share from the lessons and insights from our own experiences. And I really believe that we can be a ray of hope every time we step forward to share our truth and our wisdom, that we can empower another woman. And I really locked in that that is what the whole being of my life has come to, that exactly that is my role in life, is to bring women's stories to life.
Wonderful. Well, Linda Joy, it's been a joy. I think it's really a blessing to this world that you're so hard at work in the woods of Massachusetts, giving a louder voice to all women. And when you get Embracing Your Authentic Life out, I hope you'll come back and talk with us some more. We'll be on our eighth or ninth year by then, probably. But and I want to remind. Good, good. I want to remind people to check out all of that you offer at aspiringmag.net, and also at juicyjoyfullife.com. So thank you so much for being with us here on Full Power Living today.
Thank you.
Next week, we're moving on from joy to love when we host Marcy Shimoff with Love for No Reason. Do not miss this show. Listen live to us at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Full Power Living, which is broadcast over emotionalpro.com, blogtalkradio.com, aspire.net/FPL, and we're also available for subscription on iTunes. We want to thank our loyal producer, Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media, for his longtime support and care of us here at Full Power Living. And I want to remind you, as we end this show, to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become. We'll see you next week.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.